Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you on the verge? Of what? And are you ready for it? Have you prepared to who knows what next? So we're going to find out how to live for the verge. And to do that, we have a book called On the Verge. Wake up, show up, and shine so we can be ready. And my guest is the author of the book, Carol Bradley. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. Great to be here.
I'm so glad you could make it. And if you could speak up a little louder.
Yeah.
Good.
Here I am.
Yeah, they're all listening. They're very excited about it. And I'm excited about it, too, because this is about breakthroughs in life and how we create our lives for progress. And what does it take to be progressive in our lives, to be responsible for ourselves so that the goodness can come to us?
Mm, sounds good.
Well, you've been around the block a few times, and you've seen how this works and doesn't work, and that's, I guess, what drives you in this verge. And you have a whole program about verging.
Yeah, I do. Well, I believe in human potential. I believe in our incredible, brilliant capacity to be awake and alive. And so in my teaching of many, many things for over 30 years, I've just been helping people to wake up to themselves, to start to see themselves in their brilliant self, as opposed to all the things they're not doing. Let's start to focus on what we are doing well.
It's good to have a book. It's good to have conditioning outside of ourselves for it. When I was young in Pennsylvania, which you're familiar with, that's where you live outside of Philadelphia, and I was at Penn State, and I was doing terrible. And I was getting terrible feedback from my professors. They were really nasty and wanted me to fail. And there was something wrong with that. And I had to change curriculum and found a new department at the university that loved me and thought I was brilliant. And I went from practically failing to getting straight A's. And that's a breakthrough. So I was on the verge, but I was only on the verge because I had to make a change, and I had to be responsible for myself. And I didn't know that I could find people who really believed in me, because I never had that before. And so once I had that, I realized how important it is in our lives to associate with the right people.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great experience, because what happens is when we experience ourselves in our natural state of brilliance, of clarity, we have something to go back to. It's like a handle. We know, you knew for the rest of your life, you knew what was possible, what you were capable of doing. So to have these direct experiences of ourselves on the verge, which really just means to be in this moment, to show up right now, when we show up in the moment, we access our capacities, our brilliance, our compassion, our creativity. It's all there, just waiting for us to stop thinking so much and worrying so much, to just start showing up.
Well, but also, we all have our own gifts. And it's interesting, this morning I was at the pool talking to a swimmer who was remarking on Michael Phelps and how fantastic he is and how come this guy wasn't the same. And I said, no, you know, but you have your gifts. What are yours? They're different. And we have to be able to identify ourselves and understand what we're here for versus what anyone else is here for. And part of my work is I love to help people know themselves better so that they can position themselves in life to excel.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love to help people get to know themselves better too.
Right, that's why you teach all the programs that you teach and write the books you write. And so there's so much in your book about being mindful and wake. It's being awake, actually, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, we can talk about mindfulness till the cows come home, really. Right. But until we really experience ourselves in a state of mindfulness or a state of presence and recognize, wow, I'm right here. This is what it feels like to be present. I think that when, because I teach yoga and meditation, mm-hmm. but specifically yoga and all the movement I've taught in the for the past three decades, when people can experience themselves in their bodies, being whole, feeling good, feeling alive, then, like you had your experience in college, you've got something to go back to. You know what's possible. You know how good, how clear, how sharp, how strong you're capable of feeling. And so I kind of go to or teach mindfulness through the back door in a lot of ways. Instead of telling people what to do to be mindful, I'm asking people to recognize moments when they feel present or what I call fully alive all day long.
And for instance, being mindful of how we can love others versus how we often don't love ourselves enough.
For sure.
And you have that in the book.
Yes, I do. Yes, that's an important practice. In order to be kind to others, we truly need to be kind to ourselves. And it took me a long time. As a typical type A New Yorker, it took me a long time to let some of those borders and boundaries and barriers down.
Sometimes we're just discouraged.
Sure.
And we're in a mood, you know, and sometimes it's hard to break out of that mood and say, oh, well, think of good things, and you go, I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And then what? You know, maybe that's a good time to have tools.
Right.
And I love tools. I love essences and, you know, vibrational tools and algorithms, all kinds of things that shift our consciousness for us when we can't do it. There was a show I did recently about tools for joy.
Oh, that's great.
And Jonathan Robinson had all these different things you could purchase that would shift, alter your consciousness, alter your moods. And so you could get help.
Yeah, there's a lot of help. We could help ourselves in a lot of ways. One of my favorite loving kindness practices is simply to put your hand on your heart. And so even if you don't feel like it sometimes, just putting your hand on your heart and giving yourself that moment of patience, self-kindness, pause, whatever it means to you. But just, and you can even say to yourself, there, it's okay, there. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Let's get back up on the saddle, you know.
And some of us, I also work with something called the Human Design System, which shows a template of our personalities and in great detail. It's really always very, very accurate. And many of us are born with our heart chakras undefined, and many are born with them very defined. And to know that about yourself, to know, if I said to go within to find yourself, those people, myself included, go within and go, oh, there's nothing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so our strategy actually has to be, how can my audience, how can, you know, my clients, my students, how can I reflect all of them to know myself? And so that's how I work. Mm. And sometimes people compliment me, and I say to them, thank you. You don't realize how meaningful that is. And so it's about being mindful, being awake as to what we each individually need. Some people say, oh, you shouldn't have to need that.
Right.
But if you know that you're somebody who does need that, and I've had, because I've also had conditioning, you know, on the negative side, and people have been very nasty to me throughout many, many times, it really goes deep because it fills up that empty space. So I have to learn to condition myself for the right people around me, people who do care and are appreciative and can identify who I truly am. So it's the same thing that you're teaching, but we all have to have our own unique strategies.
Right. Yeah, what I find and what I've the way that I teach people is when we're able to show up and arrive in the center of our lives at this moment, we do know. We do start to recognize our habits, patterns, conditioning, what makes us feel alive and bright, and what doesn't. Mm-hmm. And so we could think and try and think our way and try to figure out our way to this understanding, this inner knowledge, as you say. Or we can continue to, as I like to say, unblock and unfold to unleash what's already there.
Right.
And so this is much of the
and
way
so
I
it's
teach.
Tuning in. I did a radio show just recently on following your inner GPS. And it's really sensing, feeling what's correct, what doors are opening for you and what doors are closing so you can choose properly.
Right. I like that.
Right. And what you teach, yoga, meditation, all positions people so that they're better at that.
Mm-hmm. Right. We start to trust. I'm a big believer in that, just trusting our inner intelligence, trusting the sensations arising from our body, trusting the subtle impulses, prodding and poking that we feel. When we get quiet enough, we sense there's like a whole universe in there. It's a symphony of sensations. And so by getting quiet enough in our mind, doesn't mean you're not moving, but just getting quiet enough mentally and emotionally, we start to really tune in, as you said, mm-hmm. to what the guidance, the direction that's already available to us coming through.
And how we find it. For instance, years ago, when I was becoming a competitive runner, I was traveling around the country doing research for a book on running that I was writing, and I was meeting all of these really superstar runners, Olympic runners and, you know, world-class runners, and they would take me out for runs. And I'd be running with them, and it was like, oh my God, I have to keep up with them. That's, you know, it challenged me, but in good ways. And when I got home, I said, I'm probably a better runner than I think I am, because look who I've been running with. And I went into some races, and I'm so much faster than ever before.
Yeah, it was all in your mind.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
It was conditioned by just getting, you know, that I'm worthy of being a fast runner, and then all of a sudden I could allow myself to go for it.
That's great.
So when we're on the verge, there's another experience that I had in life that I think is valuable for understanding but sometimes what we have to do, and it has to do with making choices. And, well, two things. One was that I was in a race, and this is just about that time I was starting to find out how fast I was. And I was used to being a little bit farther back in the pack. And I said, I'm just going to take a chance and then run up front. And even if I can only hold it 100 yards or half a mile, I've gotten to feel what it's like to be in the front of a race. And I ran up to the front, and I found out that I could keep that pace going. And I ended up coming second in the race, and I was just shocked at that. Oh, my God. Mm. And it was so wonderful to take that risk with ourselves and say, maybe I am ready. I'm on the verge.
That's right. Well, I had a very similar experience that I talk about in the beginning of my book.
Right, on the track.
I was a college track runner. And when I was 19, I had a moment in my last college race where I just went off on my own before the race and said to myself, just beat your personal best. I was a middle of the pack runner. And I had said it to myself so many times, like a mantra. I had calmed my mind and relaxed my nervous system so that when I went to run the race, I came in third place, similar as you. I passed our best mid-distance runner. I shaved 6 seconds off my 800, which is ridiculous. And from that day forward, I looked at that race from every angle to see what did I do, what didn't I do, how did I access this. And the interesting thing is I don't feel like it was a peak performance sort of state. I don't call it that anyway.
It was a becoming.
Yeah, well, I felt so natural.
Right.
Right.
And that actually, I was a short, fat kid when I was young, and right through my adolescence, and in between my junior and senior year in high school, I decided to get the lead out, and I ran all summer. And I also got taller, so I got taller and thinner and fast. And when I got back to school, I went out for the cross-country team. And in the tryouts, and I didn't know much about myself as a runner because I'd been running by myself. And all of a sudden, I'm passing all these track stars because they weren't distance runners. And this was for cross-country. And it was amazing to discover myself as truly an athlete that I never saw in myself before. I was actually not happy about being a short, fat kid, and my father had been a professional athlete. So it was really one of these opportunities that you work for. And that's what a lot in your book is, to work for who you are, to work to be better of yourself. Mm. And then actually we went on to win the state championship.
Fantastic. That's a great story.
So, yeah, it was really interesting that, you know, we have these opportunities. I'm enjoying talking about this. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share some of my journey. And because these have to do with Verge. This has to, you know, so much of this has to do with what's in your book. Mm-hmm. And but this other story was when I had just been divorced. I was very unhappy. I was in my early 30s. I was very unhappy with myself. I just saw myself as, you know, erased at that point. And I looked around at all these successful people and I said, what are they doing that I'm not? How can I be so unhappy, having such, you know, an unhappy life, and they are all happy? What's the difference? And I said, the difference is choice. That I just haven't chosen to be happy and strong and progressive and, you know, believe in myself. And I said, okay, now I'm choosing that. And all of a sudden, my life turned around dramatically. There were these great gifts that were handed to me that still exist today, including being on the radio. I was offered to be on a regular guest on a daily radio show and given great opportunities in the running world that I, as an administrator, organizer, founder of things that were wonderful. And they just came out of the blue to me because I decided to choose to believe in myself and to make that choice that I'm going to be great. And I didn't know what would bring me there, but it attracted all these offers. Mm. So I think a lot of The Verge is what you're teaching, is to prepare yourself and to make a choice about yourself and then let the universe deliver. Mm.
Yeah, and I mean, in some ways, yeah. So The Verge, I'm going to explain it just
Please.
For everybody that's yeah. listening, where I came up with this metaphor. The Verge, my husband, after my race, my husband lived 6-7 years later, my husband spent some time down in the Amazon with an indigenous community. Mm-hmm. And he found that as he traveled throughout the tributaries, they would often stop on a spot of land where two rivers met, where ecosystems collided. It was on this spot of land where the indigenous communities, they revered this spot as sacred because plant life, wildlife thrive. There's more diverse amount of species right there on the edge of land.
So you can verge at the merge.
And that place is called The Verge. Uh-huh. So The Verge, when he came home and he told me about it, I thought, my gosh, where is there a verge near me? I want to stand on a verge. I want to know what it feels like to stand on the verge and thrive. I wonder how I would feel, because I became this human potential junkie after my race, wanting to know what I had done during that race to show up so strong and clear. And so I started to look, where is there a verge? What is the verge? Where do I shine? Where do I, not only me, but everybody else, where do we thrive? And on my journey, excuse me, through fire walking and through bungee jumping and sweat lodges and chakra clearing and all that, I discovered that this moment is the verge. This moment, we have the opportunity to choose, just like you said, to show up for our lives as it is right now. And when I can step into this moment, I thrive in whatever it is I'm being called to do right now.
Because the flow is joining together in the moment, and you're awake for the flow happening and ready.
Right. Life is rising up to meet me right now. The rivers are colliding right now in this moment. You and I are here together speaking.
And we don't know what the rivers are bringing, right. But we're in the presence of them in terms of our own soul journey, our just being present.
Right.
Yeah. So that's why you teach meditation, that's why you teach yoga, is really to be ready for what the rivers coming together bring.
Yes.
And you also talk about being in your shining.
Right.
And that's I like that. And I recently did a show about our fiber optic network of our fascia.
Mm.
And people don't realize that our fascia is all over our bodies holding us together, is tubules that are fiber optic. And so when they're all in their togetherness, and you talk about movement, you talk about using your body to be awake, and then shining is actually those fiber optics really working for you.
Oh, I like that. That's great. It's a great visual. Yeah, when we're present, when we're right here in this moment, no matter if it's speaking on a radio show or cooking dinner or walking down the street or writing an email, when we're fully present for what it is we're doing, we light up.
Exactly.
Yes.
Our fiber optics go
to
work.
That's what I mean by shining.
That's great. Yeah. It's so much fun reading your book because there's so many good, helpful methods in here. And one of it is, one group of methods here was having the right attitude. And there were good points to make here that I thought were of great value in what attitude are we bringing to the verge.
Mm.
And, you know, keeping it light. Are we light enough?
Right. Well, when we're practicing, so when we start to recognize when we're awake and aware and when we're asleep or distracted, this is called a practice, right? And I'm sure many of your listeners know and have their own practices, whether it be knitting or meditating. There are so many different ways we can practice being present. We can practice living on the verge. And so these attitudes are ways to help us not make our practices just another thing we have to do, but a way to practice living, a way to practice being and showing up.
Being awake and shining.
Being awake and shining. And so it's important to keep it light. Right. I've often heard, be serious about your practice, but not too serious about yourself in your practices.
Right, yeah. Because the rivers are moving and you want to keep moving with them.
Right.
So, Carol Bradley, this is so much fun talking with you about your book, On the Verge. And you have websites, what are they?
Yeah, so first I have a free app that I want to tell everybody about that is affiliated with my book. It's called On the Verge. It's on the App Store and coming in Android. And then my website is Kara Bradley with a C, Kara with a C dot net, not com. And I've got loads of stuff on there about my book and YouTube channels, videos, lots of stuff I give away on there.
If in Philadelphia, they should come to your classes?
Yeah, out on the main line, Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Wayne, okay, that's wonderful. So, Carol Bradley, such a joy to talk with you.
Well, thank you.
And let's
great to
just
be here.
Keep on verging.
Show up and shine, baby.
Right. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd really love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.